We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 4 years and 23 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Emerson alongside Ned. How are you, Mr. Wizard?
Health fine.
That's good.
Excellent. Chilled out. It's been a quiet week because most of the financial systems are lying to themselves and saying everything's okay and we're all on the up.
Yes, there's no problem. Okay. There's no inflation either. There's no inflation. There's nothing wrong with the financial system. Everything's good.
But EV sales are down.
Yeah. I saw a video yesterday. I think it was in Scotland. There was an EV charge point and they had two diesel generators belching out black smoke while they were charging it was hooked up to the charge point.
I hope nobody heard him say things. He might get done for hate speech.
Well, that is true. There's a police inquiry going on in Auckland. These two guys painted over one of those crosswalks, you know, those multicolored crosswalks.
Oh, what, in New Zealand?
Yeah, in New Zealand. Let me see if I can find it here.
Oh, why? Painted over it. Why? Because, well, I'm sorry.
You
but
know
if
why
it's anything
painted
to do
over
with
it.
The road or the side of the road,
yes.
It should be nothing but
you know
what
why
the
they
road
painted
should
over
be.
It. Yeah, you know why they painted over it. That's why.
Yeah.
So it was being investigated as a hate crime. This is what they did in the middle of the night.
How can it be a hate crime?
Yeah, well, I don't know. But yeah, that's what they did.
He wants his road back to what it was. I think it was a hateful thing in the first place. It's a distraction. You do not need a distraction while driving.
And it didn't hinder traffic. They all drove over top of it, even with the wet paint. It's fine.
No, I mean the original colorful mess.
All that, yeah.
There.
Yeah.
It's the distraction, so you don't need that sort of thing. Road safety should say no. Simple as that. But what's that got to do with it? They've even politicized that now. But yeah. Oh, Ireland.
Yeah, this was the incident with the two diesel generators hooked up to the charge point. Northumberland is where it was.
Oh, yeah, not quite Scotland.
Yeah, yeah. And then to the car.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? It's just a joke.
It's a joke.
You'll be seeing more and more of it until somebody creates a business to say, we're taking these things down now and we're going to charge you to take them away. And that'll just be a load more trash and wastage. But there you go.
And there will be a scheme for that, and it will be taxpayer funded.
It will be, yeah. Oh, you hear the Netherlands are finally getting rid of, what is his name?
Rutter? Mark Rutte?
Mark Rutte, yeah, Mr. Tiefel.
Yeah, yeah. You know what they're talking, I saw an obscure headline, it's probably BS, but I saw an obscure headline that it is possible that he could take over as a possible candidate for the, or jump in as a possible candidate for the next NATO Secretary General.
Now, why would they want that git in there?
Because he's the perfect stooge, that's why.
Because he's this perfect git.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is, what gets me is, he should never have been, he's another one that should never have been there in the first place.
No argument.
Because his party resigned in the Netherlands and they stood in until they were replaced. They haven't been replaced yet.
Isn't Wilders, Geert Wilders, isn't he supposed to take over? Isn't his party supposed to take over? They did win the election.
Hey, yeah.
So what? We're winning elections and we're just saying, no, sorry. No, we're not doing that now.
Yeah. So he's going to go over to where did you say? The UN?
NATO. Yeah, I saw an obscure headline that he could possibly be a candidate for NATO Secretary General. And he's not the only one. Listen to these two other names I heard as well. Carista Freeland.
Don't say Boris Johnson.
No, not Boris Johnson. Carista Freeland, which is just as bad, I might add, from Canada. Canada, Deputy Prime PM of Canada. So Carista Freeland. Yeah. And the other one was your heavy favorite, Ursula von der Leyen.
Oh, von der Leyen. She's eye of prosecutors.
Yes, but I expect that to be squashed, to be fair. I think it's just publicity, you know, to make it look like they're actually doing something.
Because that's been taken... When did that get raised? That got raised by somebody in Belgium, didn't it? And now it's been taken over formally by the European parliamentary prosecutors.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. Has it been taken over so it can be squashed? That's the next question.
Because that is the next question. And she's up for re-election. So.
But the thing is, what gets me is, right, everything that happened over the last so many years was about putting everybody in debt, and it was about greed, irrespective of the harm it done to all the nations. Now, one of the main reasons that they got their BDI on her is because, do you know how many... how much money's worth of vaccines had to be dumped?
I want to say it was almost $1 billion, wasn't it? Or euros? Billion euros?
4 billion. Euros.
4 billion. Okay, yeah, I knew it was in the billion.
Because basically, greed got her where she is, and the wastage of money might be the only thing that gets her out. Money once again. And so, yeah.
Maybe, but there were a lot of the redacted reports that were out. So that if you look at the Pfizer agreements that she had, and we still haven't seen those private WhatsApp messages.
Those texts. Yeah. It was proper texts, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was with...
Between her and Albert Bourla.
CEO. Yeah. Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer. So God knows what's happening there. There's several talks about whatever. But you see, if you talk about Mr. Tiefel, what he actually done while he was in government actually... shines in every other country. The same thing's happened no matter what, because do you know, since about mid decade, about 2010, he started to get involved with the Bilderbergs, and he started to get openly involved with the WEF meetings.
No, I didn't know that.
He missed two meetings out of a decade on both of them. He got openly involved in all of that. And then he obviously got into government. So, I mean, he was well-placed, probably, and all he's done is do the same agriculture thing, because he actually did a discussion at the WEF about the future of agriculture and corporate farming and everything else and what it should be. And he was bringing his own country down. It's saying, basically, that he even introduced the synthesized meat into his own country. Did you know that?
I did know that he was part of that scheme, yeah, to roll that out, yes.
Yeah, so he's been introducing that. He's been bringing his own, it's just, and nothing has touched him. That's why he's got that nickname of Mr. Tiefel. But, you know, he's a horrible person. If he gets put anywhere else, put it this way, if any of these people keep getting moved into nice jobs or whatever, it just shows how much control those behind it all have over all these different institutions.
Well, it's just those golden parachutes that they get given. You know, where's Fauci? Why isn't Fauci sitting, you know, knee deep before a trial board?
He should be up to his neck in an anthill.
He should be.
With honey on his head.
Something.
It's horrible.
He should be.
Yeah. But this is the second time he's done it with vaccines.
It is, but nonetheless, like there's zero accountability. And we were talking about in prep what passes for a justice system, even down to the local level, you know, making a mockery of the system. I mean, that's what you're going to get now, is that.
It's a circus. It's become a circus. We have all these, there was another letter issued. What was that? Oh, another letter was issued, and I saw that the other day. It's a proper letter. Oh, yeah. RONS. It got issued last month by at least a few parliamentary people. And it was all, once again, it was about vaccinations. And it was saying, well, this doesn't show the efficacy of the vaccine, whether it's good or bad. The data's there, but it just doesn't seem like you've used it well. Can we do a reanalysis of it? And it was ignored. And it's been a month now. It's just been totally ignored. No answer.
Well, that's what the ONS does, apparently. They just ignore statistics. They just say, sorry, that's not what we're counting anymore, and we're just not going to pay attention to it.
They've ignored the parliamentarians that have asked for it.
Okay, that's a good question. Who's the ONS accountable to then? If not the parliamentarians, then who is? Aren't they supposed to be over that? Like that's your representatives for your constituency. So I mean, that's responsible to the voters. So
obviously, somebody in the House higher up have obviously said something, and unless it's like somebody saying, unless it's me, yeah, you don't tell anybody.
What is this?
So there's a group within a group. It's they're looking after themselves. It's ridiculous. Don't know. It's a fiasco. It's like you're getting the papers at the moment. Everything's going on a war footing. That is a very expensive industry. That is a big money making industry. And you know very well in your country, certain people will make a lot of money out of that you don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expect them to. Yeah, of course.
But the thing is, and then they shout out about international laws for war. It's a joke. International laws for war? And that in itself is a paradox within itself, isn't it?
Well, and to reinforce that. Yeah, and to reinforce that, we, of course, have the kangaroo UN Security Council to call out whatever they feel is necessary for that day. And we have the Hague, where the International Criminal Court is, which is, I think that's been more or less bought out lock, stock, and barrel by George Soros, I think, over the years.
Yeah. So, well, actually, it hasn't been.
Well, if there are war crimes, that's where they're sent, right? That you're sent to The Hague to answer for war crimes, yeah. if there's any, if that's ever.
Out of all the proxy wars since World War II, even though you could say some people could say that was a proxy war too, depending on who's.
Yeah. That's depending on which view of history you want to look at. Yeah, that's true.
And from everything from somebody saying, well, we did have a lot of people at work before they started a war. That's from both sides, not just Germany, but America too. I mean, there was 12 million people had a job straight away.
Yeah. And you know what? You guys had a jobs boom after the war.
Yeah. Everything had to be rebuilt. But hang on. Did we get any of that money back?
Or no, whatever actually, you had to pay us for.
When did we stop paying the debt to you guys? Oh, God.
You got it in 2010. It was about the same time the Germans did. They had to pay us too.
Isn't that very nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Biden spent that already.
Oh, he spent more than that. That's been spent. Yeah, that's gone. And yeah.
And the UN is squeaking about, well, if we get Trump in, we've got to lock in some rulings now to make sure there's $100 billion to help Ukraine out.
Well, where's the All right. The thing about Ukraine, I am not able, and Bruce, we've been looking at that stuff for a long time. We cannot run down any of the cash payments, whatever this is, because we don't know if that's actually like that. Taking place.
How much money is said to have gone into that place?
There's that. Yeah, we don't know. We can't run it down. We can kind of the weapons transfers and the ammunition stockpile transfers, because all of that stuff is tagged.
But how many countries have broadcasted that they have? Or are willing and have donated many billions to
loads, it. Loads.
Yeah, probably more than what the world trade GDP is.
Yeah. So as far as the donation, we can't track it. You know, the countries can say that, but we can't track where that money goes. Money even goes.
It's a massive, disgusting farce. It's better redistribution of personal wealth than the lottery. That is. It just seems. Yeah. Just wow. It's just mental. Oh, here's a funny thing for the total climate hacks and proof that the climate hacks have really gone off the rails. The Australian government, have issued a study. They paid for it.
And with taxpayer money. Yes, of course they did.
Apparently, Australian soil is going to be one of the biggest carbon emitters in the future.
Australian soil. there's a lot of real estate down there on that continent that's also a country.
Right. I even went into it and looked. See, the study was published in Nature Portfolio Journal, right? And it warns that Australian soil is becoming a net carbon emitter. The study was led by a Professor Raphael Viscara-Russell, and it was funded by the Australian government. It's just another.
These people are insane. They're insane. They've lost their minds.
Yeah, and it was the Australian Research Council's Discovery Project that funded it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So over the next 80 years, apparently, they haven't got a clue about the biosphere, about living organisms, about a dynamic equilibrium and how you need a balance and whatever, they're a bunch of arseholes. I mean, that is another model created to cause stupidity. And I don't even know if the Australians know that they've paid for this and what's coming their way. So what should we do? Sink Australia?
Yes, let's just scuttle the whole continent, shall we?
I don't know whether Martin realizes that he's sitting on a carbon emitter.
Yeah, he's on a carbon sink down there. He is. By the way, Marty has made it successfully to the land down under, and we will be bringing some reports from him in the coming week. So just
That'd be good.
Stay tuned for that. Yeah. We're working on it.
I'm sure he'll send you some nice pictures of him.
Well, I'm sure he's going to send nice pictures if it'll ever stop raining. Yeah. If he can ever get out of the abode that he's in. Yes, the swamp. But he does have internet access down there, and he is going to be doing some limited podcasting with us for the coming week. So there'll be that.
Australia's got internet. Oh my God.
They do. Yeah. I think it's a couple of kangaroos running on a hamster wheel down there.
I'll give it to anybody. Marsupials.
Yeah.
Right then. Proof to the UK public that COVID vaccines are dangerous. They're distributing a letter to specific people, to specific parts of the population. And it's asking those specific people of the population whether they can come in and get tested. And that when they get tested, can they use the data of their bloods and their DNA, you know, and share the data. And you know how much they're willing to pay them?
Each person that takes the test. £10. That's it? Wow. What a slap in the face. Oh, yeah, you're really screwed. Oh, by the way, £10.
And by the way, this letter is only being distributed to the vaccinated, not to everybody.
Interesting. You would think that would be something that would be publicly available.
You'd think they'd be sensible enough to send it to people across the board.
Of course.
Yeah. But no, I'm not entitled to that letter, by the way. And they're all personalized with names.
So not only would you get...
So hang on. Why are they asking specifically about your bloods and your DNA information, and can they share it?
Probably because those are the two things that are going to be affected and show whether there's a problem or not.
It's quite questionable, isn't it? But there you go.
Yeah.
The proof will out eventually. Yeah. Oh, you get a tenner for it. Although it probably cost per capita, per individual, about $6,000 of taxpayers' money to get vaccinated and masked up and everything.
Yes. And then you've got the lab costs and everything that they're going to have to do for processing and everything. So there's that. So that money's going to have to go into that.
And where's the £10 going to come out of?
Yeah, you're only getting the £10.
Your own pocket, because your taxpayer's going to pay.
Yeah, taxpayer's going to float a bill for it, yeah.
So you go, you're going to have £10 out your own pocket back, but we want all the information on you.
Yes.
Oh, there's a nice schoolboy.
Yes. This is Justin Castro. I told you about this in prep. Here's the audio for it of his
is
antics.
Is he in open denial?
Oh,
or just
he's
self-justification.
Well, both, actually.
Both.
Yeah, both. Yeah. So you'll hear it right out of the horse's mouth, so to speak. Here he is.
In the 2021 campaign, you used words talking about people, framing them as anti-vaxxer mobs. You talked about their racist and misogynist agenda. Do you regret using language like that, though? And do you think that that has added to how people think about you?
I regret that when I was talking about specific groups of racist, intolerant protesters, not everyone in the protest, but the ones who were shouting racial epithets and misogynistic slurs at my security detail and others, I'm going to call out intolerance and hateful language wherever it has. It is unfortunate that what I said was able to be made a number of people feel I was talking about them. I have always been very, very careful to know people can be make own decisions about whether they get vaccinated or not, that there's normal vaccine hesitancy out there in every population. And our job as a government is to try and encourage people to do the right things for public health. The fact that the polarization and the toxicity was so amplified deliberately with misinformation and disinformation is something that is a larger question than just, you know, what I said on one particular day that was taken out of context. It's about whether Canadians are actually listening to each other and talking with each other and hearing each other and trying to remember that we are all in this together as citizens.
Here is a man who literally had the entire, I would say 90% of the population rebel against him in the truckers' protest.
And he couldn't even be bothered to stay there.
He couldn't be bothered to stay there. He ran to somewhere in British Columbia, and he comes out, makes a statement, and praises Black Lives Matter. And then has the audacity to come back after he canceled bank accounts of protesters.
Yeah.
And jailed these people and says, I will talk to you for 2 minutes if you get vaccinated. Unbelievable, this guy.
These were families that had their accounts frozen. These are just normal citizens, as he calls them.
Yeah, and they
have a choice to do what they want.
Yeah.
You don't get your bank accounts frozen due to something you believe in unless you are another nation causing a riot.
Then they jailed the people that were out there serving food to the protesters.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And to the homeless.
They put the fires out and they did all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they stole all their food that they were serving. Mm-hmm. They stole the propane tanks that they were using to heat the cookers and the grills.
Yeah, what's right? That's theft. It's actually theft.
Do you remember the people that were getting trampled with police horses?
Oh, there's all sorts going on.
It's unbelievable. Very nice. Unbelievable, that piece of garbage.
I mean, I'd be interesting to know, since we actually do have a connection with their parliament still, because the police in our country still swear an oath. And I actually spoke to a copper the other day who just happened to come into the vicinity where I was, because there was a couple of unsociable people. And I just wondered whether he was being about. And I said, and he was just a bit talking. I said, I got a question for you. Do you still say the oath and understand it when you actually do? He said, yeah, we still say an oath. Did you remember any parts of it? And he did come out with what it was meant to be, to protect the people and support them and the human rights and everything like that. I said, you've got a problem coming. I said, how hard are you going to find it when you have to stand by your oath or supposed to, and you're asked to do something rather unsavory, which goes against it? And he just looked at me and just went in the air.
Yeah.
And that's all he could say.
Yeah, that's all he can say. And that's all the others will say too.
And the thing is, yeah, people have got to understand that when you say an oath, it's like your marriage oath. It's a few things in your life where you're supposed to say something that is all binding. An oath is supposed to be part of you. You give yourself over to something that you truly believe in, and that is why it's called an oath. And if you break that oath, you actually lose part of yourself. You're throwing part of yourself away, and you're going to come across some really hard times. I'm just wondering whether these coppers in Canada have a similar oath. I'm going to have to look into that. Because the coppers here still have them.
I think that, well, you guys are still tied through that, whatever, it's the agreement through the monarchy, isn't it? Isn't that how it works?
They actually do say towards the sovereign, but they also say towards the people and human rights.
Right.
So it's basically they are the bastion, the last bastion of the people, between the people and the government, really. They're not the private army of Prince Charles, or should I say King Charles?
King Charles now, at least for now, until he's actually, you
Does
know, he's
really know where he is.
Nobody knows where he is at the moment. Let me check the royal headlines. Usually they like to, you know, put some things out there as to what
not
he's doing.
The
he
did fail. Well,
the Daily Fail. But they did say that he was going to resume his duties, his regular state functions or whatever, after Easter. So
yeah, because as a recording he sent out, wasn't it?
I don't know if that was the case or not, but I have not seen or heard anything of him other than the fact that he was going to resume his duties, and that was right. It. So, but even though that's been said, he hasn't made any public appearances at the moment. Let me check. You see this? This is just unbelievable. The Daily Fail. You go to the royal section, and you can pick on your favorite royal here. You see that? Yeah, and you can get the headlines for each one of them.
Nice.
So,
I wouldn't even nice bother. Did you say favorite one?
Yeah, you can pick your favorite. It says pick your favorite royal.
Oh, right. Okay. And if you don't have any favorites anymore?
Well, then I guess you just have to go to the main page and, you know, go to page 6 or something or whatever it is. King Charles is opening his residence to the public to make the royal family more transparent and cost effective. That was the latest headline as of yesterday.
And charge people as they go in.
Yes, they're going to charge an admission fee as you go in. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. It's wear and tear on the carpet, my dear man. You know, it's been here for 100 years and you want to walk on it.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I thought, since Bruce hasn't been here this week, that I'd bring up one of your all favorite border conversations this week.
All right. What do you have? That's interesting. Let's hear about it.
Well, everyone seems to be talking about, because Biden a couple of weeks ago made an executive decision.
Well, he's made a lot of those.
All those people that are coming, got into your country, are legal now.
Excuse me?
And that means...
Are legal?
Yeah.
You can't just... all right.
Oh, whoa.
All right. Okay. All right.
You can't.
No, you can't. You cannot. No. You cannot just sign a decree and say, yeah, okay, you're legal now. They've been trying to do that for decades.
Well, you see, what they've done is, right, the Biden administration also got questioned that who's going to pay for all these people that come in? And the answer was the NGOs that sponsor them. Right. Now, the Biden government pays money to these NGOs. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Right. And one of the major ones calls themselves Catholic Charities.
Which are not associated with the Catholic Church, I might add.
No, they're not, apparently. And they were broadcasting something the other day and basically asking people to sponsor refugees and immigrants. But the thing is, then you ask, who's going to do this? And apparently the immigrants that have got in now can become sponsors.
Okay, so they can become... hold on a minute. So the immigrants that are... So illegals that are... if I understand this, what you're saying, if you're an illegal, then you can sponsor someone else that is illegal.
But they're not illegal because they put it under... What is it? Deferred enforced deportation.
Yeah. Deferred action. Yeah, okay. So So they basically... they give them a court date and they don't have to show up until like 2029.
Oh, well, it's got out to 2032.
We're in the 2030s now.
Because of this and whatever, they've gone, right, deferred. We've deferred enforced deportation. Therefore, you are now classified as legal. So they've legalized them, and now they can sponsor their own families coming into the country.
This is, okay, now, so, you know,
they've got four countries. They've got four countries that they initially put this on. Cuba.
Of course.
Venezuela.
Uh-huh.
Haiti.
Uh-huh.
And Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
But the thing is, the thing is, once you're made legal, if you've come from these countries and you have family outside of those four, you can sponsor them from Iran, Iraq, wherever.
Yes.
And then they come into the country. But the biggest problem is when they come into your country and if they haven't got a job, they can go on to social with full social. Whereas people that work in America that have been working all their lives have to justify what social payments they might be allowed to get.
And it's minimal.
These people are going on it full hit.
Yes, along with medical, I might add.
Yeah. And the NGOs and stuff like that, which used to get like a certain amount, large amounts of money over the last so many years, have had that same amount of money over the last 2 years again, which is paying for all the buses, which is getting them in,
you know,
so they're not noticed.
These NGOs, you know, a lot of these, and the Catholic Charities specifically, when we were going through and we were running a lot of these things down, we found that a majority of these international NGOs that are working on those levels are all tied in with the United Nations and their charitable foundation programs there.
Well, Biden actually made that an executive order of 2 or 3 weeks ago, which was to allow 6,000 Palestinians in DED. On their arrival, they come under deferred enforced deportation, so they are totally legal once they get there.
And they can sponsor to bring everyone else over through this new system.
Yep.
You know, this is something that we have had for quite some time prior to this. It's called chain migration. And that has to be, that has to be stopped. That's been going on for decades, where one comes in and they can now bring in. And it's not just the immediate family. The immediate family is one thing.
It's same here.
You guys do the same thing.
Used to have to be justification. I mean, we had the West Indians. That wasn't a problem. And you had the Pakistanis, you had the Indians.
Right.
They were coming in. At one time, it did get quite annoying.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can't lose the amount of people in Britain that you can lose in America because of the differences in size. But in your country, say, in America, if a person in America wanted to, you had to justify it, didn't you? Because you had, it's like in this country, you had to justify bringing a family member over. You had to be able to financially support them. That's what I was trying to say. You had to be able to finance. So if you were a member, you got citizenship. You had to prove that you could financially support them. Otherwise, it's a, no, it's going to be a struggle. You can't have them coming over. So you used to come over, work your butt off, get a job or whatever. And that meant you could probably financially support one other person.
Yeah.
So it was a very long established thing, wasn't it?
That's how my family had to immigrate to the US from Europe, was exactly that way.
Yeah. And that is how it's always generally worked. But this influx and these rules that he's making, he's breaking the back of anything. Because, I mean, as much as I said the other day that your 7 or 10 million is probably really 20 million, it's going to be double that by the time this is over.
It's not 10 or 20. They've been saying 10 million since the 90s. So we're well into that.
Just over the last 5 years.
Oh, well, no, I would actually say it's less than that. I would say just during the time of this administration, we're at
It's nuts. I mean, that's a massive, that breaks the system. It just doesn't work. And it creates unrest. That is going to create poverty. Biden and his administration doesn't care how much dirt and misery that is going to create, because he'll not be living in it.
No, he won't.
None of them are. But yeah, that's what it used to be. An I-134 document in your country, I think it was, government form. But yeah, he's such a git. And I couldn't believe that he actually just said, well, yeah, 6,000. People can scream and shout. I mean, as much as anything else, there is bad money behind everybody shouting Palestinians, whatever, down with Israel or whatever. This is Soros money behind a lot of this. This is people like that is just pushing this unrest and whatever. Before you shout and protest about something on the other side of the world, have a look into it. There's a lot wrong, and it's a lot of people with a lot of money that are doing this wrong, and a lot of people behind it. War doesn't have rules. If somebody came knocking on your door and smashing your door in, would you just say, hang on, would you like to come in? I'll cook you breakfast. And when we've finished it, I'll move out and you can have my house. I don't think so. But then the people that are protesting and saying all these wrongs and whatever, I don't think they'd do that either. So, no, it pisses me off. It pisses me off that all people need to do is just shout about things that they haven't got a clue about. It really cheesed me off when the Blair government was in this country and they actually got parents protesting, and they actually got kids out of school on these protests. You never had children walking protests, you know, and things like that.
During Tony Blair's government.
When it was all about weapons of mass destruction and everything like this.
Oh, yes, yes.
They actually had children from school who didn't understand a damn thing could have the day off to protest with the parents. That's when you know, sorry, this is a bit stupid, you know? This is a forced political issue. Right or wrong, it doesn't matter. You don't involve... Oh, yeah, there he is. He's walking around Africa doing his damnedest.
Is he down there with his foundation now? Is that what he's doing?
Work now. He's involved with a lot of councils in Africa, and he is just pushing, alongside Gates, this digital ID crap.
I've got something on Gates. Would you like to hear about it? Because I think you might have something to say on this. Or do you want to finish your point first and then we'll get to it?
What, has he forsaken life?
More or less. He's going to make sure that you forsake life, if that's what you mean. Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation just so happen to be behind the process of cleansing math of white supremacy. So that foundation...
Math doesn't have a political point of view unless you impose it on it.
Yes. So they say that teachers must examine, quote, the ways in which they perpetuate white supremacy culture in their own classrooms. This pathway, they call this plan from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they call it a pathway to equitable math instruction is what it's called. They say the pathway offers guidance and resources for educators to use now as they plan their curriculum, while also offering opportunities for ongoing self-reflection, how Marxist of you, as they seek to develop...
Marx is logical.
I understand. I'm just quoting what they've put out in the thing, and then we can get into all of that. As they seek to develop an anti-racist... as they seek to develop an anti-racist math practice, the toolkit strides... serve as multiple on-ramps for re-education for educators as they navigate the individual and collective journey from equity to anti-racism.
That is the biggest load of bullshit I've heard for so long. It's just crap.
There you go. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
This is how we enforce our ideals on you. This is supposed to make you feel good and feel bad at the same time. By the way, there was nothing about maths in that at all. Maths is a tool to be used. Maths that is for solving things and actually opening your imagination to different ideas and theses and hypotheses and stuff like that. When it's channeled by political means, it's pointless. Math loses its power. Math is an open tool which has an infinite possibilities. That moron needs ditching.
They don't want people that to know math.
That is why in Cambridge, the Centre for Mathematics didn't have a room for Gates. There was only one person, I think.
Did he try to get in there?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I wish he would. Stood on the other side of the door and I'd have jammed his neck in it.
I'm sure you'd had a thing or two to say.
But I think in Pavilion B, there was a certain gentleman that used to live in a wheelchair.
Uh-huh. Yes. I know who you're talking about.
You know who that is.
Yes, I know who it is.
And he was there, and he actually had a sense of humour, although he's a cantankerous bugger sometimes. But other than that, no. Gates did actually pay for the computer building, for a building to be built. It was called the Gates Building, I think, or something, the William Gates Building. But then he also had to build another one there for the university, and after 10 years, he had to move out. But yeah.
Yeah.
But,
so you get the lease, Bill, is what that's what you get. Yeah.
Well, remember when the Xbox was starting?
Yes. It was early 2000s.
They had it in the foyer of the new building.
Oh, I see. One of the demo units. So.
And the security people were behind a desk, behind a one way sort of glass, big thing or whatever. So I've been all around the building. But within that building, Gates had got there was pool tables, there were things. As long as these people worked hard, they could play hard and things like that. I mean, one of the things after so many years that was left, most of them went were 110-inch screen TVs. They were a lot of them, but there's so much stuff left there. It was just unbelievable. But the one thing he worked under the premise of, you work, you deliver, you can have your playtime as well. But I don't think they realized. But then this is it. It did channel people into, but the only person that benefited from it was him. And he does not give anything back. He takes on a magnitude, he takes a lot more than comes back. His footprint leaves a lot of harm behind, a hell of a lot of harm. His history is not good. Although people call him a philanthropist, his money has come out of people first by magnitudes of 10 to what he gives back. And he only gives back, or seems to give back, to manipulate a situation to his benefit. He is quite a horrible person. If people really want to look into him, he is not a very nice individual. And after seeing that picture of his wife or ex-wife or whatever, she needs to give him a forearm smash because her forearms look like you can knock an elephant down.
I'm telling you, I'm in the gym 6 days a week and I don't look like that.
Well, let your hair grow. You never know.
Something. I mean, my goodness. I don't know what all that was about. I didn't ask you this. I asked all the other guys this. Did you have any comments on the Baltimore Bridge collapse? Did you see that? Did I play the video for you?
No, I actually seen it. I actually looked on satellite stuff. I've seen it from all manner of different angles. But do you know something? That is a really... How many bridges are built like that with no concrete wells for them to sit in? Most bridges now, if you look at them, their stanchions have a concrete footing.
Yeah.
That had none.
No. And that is unusual now that you say that. When you go across... Patapsco, when you go across that bridge in Baltimore. The other ones that you go across that are connected in the Chesapeake, they're all, you know, they all have the concrete.
Yeah, that had none.
For a major
waterway, come on. Somebody was going to do something. Somebody was going to channel somebody in their direction that way. That was a soft target. That was a very soft target. I mean, sorry. I just don't get it. I looked at it and I went, that ship in a major waterway should have bounced off a concrete buffer. Should never.
It shouldn't have hit in the first place.
That's just a joke. I mean, that bridge has a bloody green light right in the middle channel for them to head for, on that bridge.
Yep.
And that was lit up like a beacon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's actually how they navigate.
The thing is, when you've got a massive ship like that and you point it in a direction, it just keeps going in that direction unless you steer it off course. It takes a lot to stop ships that size unless you actually move them. Oh, there's your light.
There's your massive green light right in the middle. And of course, you got the reds on the other side.
Yeah. It's
which they aim for.
Exactly.
This ship should be out here already. It should be way out over here, and it's not. And you can see it. It's inching further and further and further to the right.
This is it. You've got to have steering for that because they're big enough. They will just keep going in one direction. There is no current there to do anything to a thing that size. Look at the water.
Oh, yes. It's still. It's always like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, sorry. It's just, it's a joke. No, I watched it from a long way, from loads of minutes back to where it ended up. And that, nah, sorry. But when I looked at the bridge and I went, there's no concrete buffers on that.
On that bridge, no. It was an older bridge. It was built in the, I want to say it was in the 1972 is when it was built.
There was
a bridge that was built in my hometown, and it's got concrete. The columns are solid concrete. Yeah. And there's been several
structure, you put those pilings into concrete, they just...
Yes. Yeah, the other bridges that I've been across.
Especially if you've got ships going past. I mean, that's been built since the 70s. Why didn't actually somebody build them? Oh, unless it was saved for a special occasion.
It could have been, yeah. Biden is there now, actually. He just, he's giving a speech out there on the edge
on
of
McConnell's
the
heads.
He's out there in his typical, what do you call it? They've got him all dressed up in the jacket and the hat and everything.
He's selling ice creams.
I don't know what he's doing. It's a 9-second clip. I suppose we can play it just for the...
Yeah. You see that guy, that black guy on the to his left, but our right.
Yeah, yeah.
My right. He looks like he's out of the Matrix.
He does,
the one that
he?
Was
off. Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He looks like a young one out of the Matrix.
He does.
Doesn't he?
Let's hear what he has to say.
Dislocated worker grants, fancy phrase, which is dimes, all it is there to make sure it helps create jobs for workers involved in the cleanup.
There you go.
Yeah. He's as stupid as that hat on that man's head behind him. I'm sorry, it just don't look right. Okay, he's probably proud of the hat he wears, but does he realise what he looks like? Sorry, shouldn't have said that, really.
Well, no, it's okay. You criticised.
I could be done for hate speech against hats.
You could, especially if you're in North Korea. You know how they have the big, tall hats there? You know, Marty always says that they have to have bigger hats than the Russians do. So, you know something? When he gets back, I actually found somebody that has bigger hats than I think... I want to say these hats are bigger than North Koreans. The Belarusians have even bigger hats. They have even taller ones.
That's very nice. Are they as big as our Busbies?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Those are pretty large.
Go find a proper hat. We win that one. How many bears does it take to make those?
I was going to say, I think isn't it? They need at least two, don't they, to make those?
I don't know. I don't know.
Have you ever worn one?
Bears. Oh, the hell.
Just for the ambiance of it. You ever worn one just for the hell of it?
No.
No?
Never even crossed my mind. Even standing in a little wooden matchbox and letting annoying children come up and stare at you and you're not allowed to do anything.
I don't know.
That seems right. The job for me. Not. No.
I don't know how they do it. I really don't know.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Can you imagine Martin? He'd crack under 30 seconds.
I think he would too. Yeah. Some kid comes along and throws an ice cream in his face. Yeah.
Where's my child? Oh, he disappeared into that Busby.
Yeah. Right. We got about 10 minutes left. What's your next topic? You got any more topics?
Well, I wasn't really going to bring much more. I really wanted to talk about that Git, but you said he's going to go over to NATO or the UN. Mark Rutter.
He's
totally ruined his country.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that he would actually go there. When I called Marty that day and I said, hey, I heard something this morning, and he said, what? And I said, I heard the next NATO Secretary General could possibly be Boris Johnson. I think he dropped the phone, and I heard like this belly laugh going on. I've never heard him laugh that hard.
Well, that's like having a death rattle, isn't it? If you're going to put him in there, isn't it?
Boris Johnson is the NATO Secretary General.
People have got to understand that these global units, such as the UN, the WEF, the WHO, they need to be totally disbanded, whatever, because all they're doing is creating NAWS. They're just tools for NAWS. And like I said the other day, it wasn't because I wanted a bitch. The WHO said there are no victims of rape. There's no victims of abuse or whatever because they weren't under our guidance, although our people done it. Their people, 80 plus investigations, and they still keep their job. The WHO is riddled. The UN was there at the beginning. I think, what was the first one? It was the food agency, wasn't it?
That was their first subsidiary, I believe, was the World Food Program, yeah. And then the WHO came. The WHO was right after that, or right around the same time.
The UN really was.
UN was first. Yeah, that was first, because that was the successor to the League of Nations, yeah.
The League of Nations all went into the WHO.
Yes, they did. But the League of Nations actually turned into a joke. That's what I think that largely is what put us in
League of Nations. I mean, if people look into the League of Nations, they had a lot to answer for. And I think don't put that up.
Have you seen this? Did I play this for you?
I've seen that.
How can you say these are not people of integrity?
They're not. There is no integrity.
They're hard at work. You see that?
Yeah. Someone's getting jumped in the back of a UN car. How do I know it's a UN car? Because it's bright white with UN on the bonnet, UN on the top. And
the number plate.
And they got their windows open, and someone's getting a jump in the back of it while driving along. Wonderful. That is how responsible people act. It's ridiculous. And it is laughable. They treat it. They've got the sort of people in the UN, in the WHO, that just treat it as their own playground.
They do, because they've all got diplomatic immunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's nothing that can be done.
See, this is where. This is where we disagree now, because when I heard you talk to Melissa, yes, embassies are meant to be safe grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when any place gets misused to a massive degree, whether it's a hidey hole or whatever, some people will step across that line and go,
I've had enough. I can understand that. Yeah.
But that's abuse, because their own people, if they can't have the morals and ethics are saying, whoa, you're here doing what after you've done this? Sorry, you've got to answer that. Out you go. Yeah, there's got to be a line drawn by your own people sometime. They don't do that. It's laughable. The people are dying by the millions, whether it's due to the COVID fallout and it's whatever, or the proxy wars that have been created. They're just escalating this chaos. They've gone from one thing to another, and it is all about re-establishing. I mean, you and Melissa, you did say we're in a new age. I've always said you're at a crossroads. Massive decisions have to be made now, and those massive decisions have to be made by the people, because we should decide where we're going to go and come out of this. Because if we don't, and we have to accept the dark future that's going to come, that dark future will be around for a long time and many generations before eventually you might come out of it. Hopefully it's not a demise. Because those buggers in charge that like money and really like money, your WEF people, your Bezoses and everybody else, they do not care for the planet, no matter what they say. They care for money and status, as they see status. Me, personally, I think a man has more status by his code. Nothing more, and that means his oath or whatever. That what makes an individual. I say man as in mankind, that it includes everybody, whether it's binary or even if you want to see yourself as whatever or identify as whatever. Look within yourself and see where your code is and your moral standing is. It's time we all did. And see if we got the backbone to stand up. There you go. You got me to say something before the end.
Well, I think that's as good a place as any to leave it. Like I said, we will be hearing from Marty from Australia sometime this week. And possibly we're working on, I know we had some, we have some gaps. You know, Bruce has kind of stepped back a little bit. He will be joining us from time to time. But we're also working on getting Vince. We've had Vince on before. He's been on with Marty, but he's been taking care of some things. But he and I are looking to put something together on health and wellness. So yeah, I'm going to have to... Health and wellness. Yeah, because, well, and
That's a modern word.
Takes it even more modern. He calls it longevity. You know, he's really into the longevity thing. So,
No, he's feeling mortal. That's why he's saying longevity.
Well, yeah, maybe that's it too. But he's, and you know what? It's interesting how, it, well, you know what? I'm not going to spoil it for the listeners. I'll let them just wait, you know, until we get this.
No, there is different. Okay, apart from the genetic side, you see, this is the biggest problem we've got. Some people's genes give them established longer lives depending on how their generations have lived. Yeah. And it's quite interesting because my grandparent was born in the end of the 1800s. My parents were born and old enough to go into the Second World War. So there's been long times between us. But it seems like the big messes are like the standardized time rates is that, wow, that's a long time between generations. But maybe that's given us less junk in our systems, and we've learned to appreciate proper food, a proper way of life without being bombarded, because we've lived longer. So we've been through so many changes, and we know when how to stand back, because it takes a lot of reflection over these. I have reflected so much in the last few years of, you know, crikey, you know, there are long gaps and we seem to live longer. Why would that be? So there's something in there. Is it because we haven't had more generations living to have more medical and chemical inducements to actually wear them down to where everybody else is now, or a lot more people are now? That means, yeah, I am thankful in many respects that way. Yeah, to actually not have to be on medication and stuff at my age, my time in life and everything like that. Oh, I'm not putting myself up above others. I'm just saying this is what your genetic coding and nature can give you if you know how to do things in balance. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense.
It does. Yeah, it certainly does. But like I said, we're in the process of getting that put together, and we'll see what
it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. Yeah.
All right. Well, we will see you on the next roundtable that we do. It won't be next week, but it'll be sometime in the probably week after next or 2 weeks out from now. We're not sure, but we will cross that bridge when we come to it. Yes.
Well, I might do a short when I come back. Give you an extra anyway.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, you want to do a short? Yeah, that's okay. Those are pretty easy to do. It's like chewing the fat.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I'll think of something. Oh, you want?
Anyhow. Okay. All right. Yeah, we will go ahead and call this one done. It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all of the listeners. God bless everyone, and have a great evening.
Good night, all.